The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Father, we ask that you just help me. I submit to you tonight. Help me. I receive strength and grace to speak. Not mine, but yours. Help me. In Jesus' name. Just to add up to, because I may not be able to do much, to add up to what our Daddy Reverend Ajimati began to, you know, speak. Let's quickly open our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was admonishing Timothy to be strong in the grace. He saw Timothy also as one who has been enlisted into the army. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I won't have time to teach so much on that, but we know that there is a grace that is in Christ. So when you see Christ Jesus, is actually an embodiment of grace. Now, you know, of His fullness, the scripture said, we've received what? Grace for grace. So you can see there are levels of grace. That there's a measure of grace that is in Christ Jesus. I commend you now to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. So the thing that grace does is that grace builds up. Grace raises. Grace will raise. Now, a man that is raised by grace is only a man that can, because it will take grace. It will take grace. I want to say it again. It will take grace stature, grace raising to be able to stand in the season that we are. It will take grace. Please don't misunderstand me. It won't take anointing so much. Haven't you heard, how are the mighty fallen? Men call them mighty, but heaven does not reckon it as mighty. Mighty because of anointing. But heaven does not recognize it as anointing. It was there, Psalm, David was the one singing, how the mighty are falling. And the weapons of war perished. Now the weapons of war, we are Saul and Jonathan. But you see, there we are anointed. It was the issue of anointing, not the issue of grace raising. So grace, listen to me. I know anointing is a kind of grace, but it's grace that is upon, not grace that is a building, not grace that is within. So what Paul was telling Timothy was not about the anointing. It was about the building. Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what will make you to be strong? So it's like saying, be built in the grace. Built and established in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Everyone that belongs to this army of the living God, the first step is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You must be built, formed, You must be gracious in your raising. You must be gracious in your raising. There's something grace does. There's something grace building does. That you can't, grace will achieve what strength of multitude will not be able to achieve. It's a raising, it's a building. Full of grace and truth. Talking about our Lord Jesus. Full of grace and truth. Not upon, but within. Full of grace and truth. So Paul told him, be strong in this grace. Concentrate on this grace. Concentrate on your reason. Concentrate on your building. I want you to understand, in the time of your building, your aligning for to be built is also a time of warfare. Because there is someone who doesn't want you to be built. Your being built, actually, spirits don't like it. They don't mind if we do all the revival meetings and do all the meetings we want to do, but don't just be built. That is why they hate prophets. Because it takes building, it takes raising to be able to pierce the spirit, the realm of the spirit. So as you're growing, you will be confronted by spirit. Because as you're gaining height, you will meet spirits that own such heights, that occupy such places. And they will war. Your building, your growing up is a warfare. You need to understand that. So you don't joke with it. Don't give up in the days of your building. All the temples that we are built in the days of contention. It was always in a troublous time. So if you're going to be the temple, if you're going to be the house of God, which is also a soldier, as we are, it is also in a time of your rising is a time of conflict. Because there are spirits that don't want the church to be built. But the church will be built. You know, he said, upon this rock, I will build. I will build. So we will be built. But you need to concentrate. So Paul was telling Timothy, pay attention to the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the first grace. There's still another grace. You need to understand, there's still another grace. But the first is that which is in Christ Jesus. Because there's a grace that is in the Son of God. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Timothy, quickly. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Now listen to me. One of the things that you must understand is the power of conversation. When you hear the Bible said, our conversation is from above, Philippians. Our conversation, which is heavenly, is as a result of building. There is no way you will imbibe conversation that is heavenly when you have not been built so. How you have been built is going to show forth in your conversation. Now, what you call conversation, another word for it is lifestyle. You know, we just mentioned these things and they look simple. But that's actually the dominion of spirits. The power that spirits have over nations, have over a people, is actually their conversation. You know, that's the reason why, you know, when you read the Bible in the book of Daniel, immediately they took those youngsters from Jerusalem, from Judah. The first thing Nebuchadnezzar said is, teach them what? Two things. Teach them what? The learning and the tongue. Two things. The learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Why? Because we need to give them our conversation. We need to transfer the conversation. Because when you hear Chaldeans, it's a conversation in the spirit. It's beyond just a geographical territory. It's a conversation in the spirit. There's a spirit that is over Babylon. A prince that is over Babylon. Just like you have a prince of Media and Persia, the prince of Greece. All these are also princes in the spirit. They rule. Nebuchadnezzar, yes, was a footstool. But these princes were ruling, and it was what they call conversation, which is lifestyle, was actually handed over to them by these princes that rule in the air. And that is their dominion. You don't understand me? That is actually how they rule over a territory. You just discover that everybody is behaving in a particular way. And that's our culture. Oh, that's our tradition. Handed over to us by our forefathers. But it's a vain conversation. It's a vain, because it's a conversation of vanity. A conversation of corruption. Handed over to us by our forefathers. And we are obeying it, but we never ask the question, how did they come about it? How did they learn this thing? Where did it come from? Spirits are in charge. And as long as the people are behaving like that, they are under the dominion. These spirits are wise. Very wise. They might use physical method, but that is not where, you know, it's a war of wisdom. It's a war of wisdom. Conversation. That thing you call conversation is actually an instrument of dominion. So Paul, understanding that, began to tell Timothy, that which you have learned of me, you've heard of me. You've heard of me. Not just from me. You've heard of me. The things thou hast heard of me. Because what I am passing to you is not just knowledge, it's doctrine. For thou hast known my doctrine and my manner of life, which is my conversation. So you have heard of me. You didn't just hear from me. You didn't just hear that this is what Paul is teaching. This is just Paul's doctrine. No, you have heard of me. Meaning it's a life that I live. It's a life that I live. You have heard it of me among many witnesses. He said the same. So he had to take Paul embodying that conversation to be able to pass it to Timothy. Now, conversations that are not embodied cannot be passed from generation to generation. When you hear God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's because somebody embodied something. God is not a God that will claim you when you don't have his things. Understand me? Abraham embodied something. And then was able to pass it successfully. I know Abraham, my servant, that he will, what will he do? Teach his children after him too. Meaning all that I have passed to him, all that I gave to him, he's going to successfully pass it to his children. Now, I don't think Abraham was having, maybe he had morning devotion, I don't know what. I don't think he had a church, but he had a conversation. He had a conversation. He had a very solid conversation. A conversation of faith that God bore witness and called him the father of faith. He had a conversation. So Paul said, that which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men. I love that. Faithful men, not skillful men. faithful men, not competent men. Because the soldiers we are talking about, those who are going to believe, who are going to come into the Lord's army, they are not men who are going to be strong in themselves. They are going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They are men who God would have raised. You see how God raised the, you know, those army of David. That's an example. That's an example of the army of the living God. How did they come? The Bible said, all of them that were distressed, in depth, discontented. You know, people who are more like touts. They just found a new leader. And what attracted them was the fact that David was a vagabond. It was a life they've lived. David was running from one place to the other. I said, all of us, make me they run. Now, somebody, I'm owing somebody, he's coming after me every day. Let me go and meet David. I can't pay the debt. So let me be following David. These were men who were nothing. But by the time they followed David, something also rested upon them and cultured them. Men who were nothing became mighty. That is how it's going to be. It's not going to be a company of those who have things as it were, what it takes. Now, let's even imagine, sir. Why would the Lord be saddling us with this responsibility at the moment where the church is in its weakest point? We've never had this bad before. Time with me. I don't want to mention the things that goes on in the church, but our daddy here was mentioning some of them. And God will say, okay, this is a time that I want an army of the living God. Why? Why didn't he come? Because we had fathers who had disciplines. We had disciplines of men like Daddy Kumuyi. When I heard some of his things, I just told myself, I said, we are not doing ministry. We are not doing ministry. We are playing. When you hear some of their consecrations that I'm afraid to tell the Lord, okay, I want to know. Those consecrations, they are fearful, terrible. Are you talking about sacrifices? Men who have offered themselves. That the Kumuyi said, God told him that he is a property of the church. That he should live like that. You know, you don't know what it means that you're a property of the church. Now, what men own church, not church own you. But he said God told him that he's a property of the church. That is what church decides. A man sold himself. Consecrations that are fearful. You talk about afflictions. You think we've seen afflictions? You know, sometimes our little scratches of afflictions, we want to present them as our CVs. Now, when you hear some afflictions that our fathers, some of our fathers have gone through, who have not, forgive me, I know there are locations in the spirit, but they don't have the level of word, the level of revelation. That they are not exposed to it, but their life, their afflictions, I'm afraid of them. That is one thing that makes me all the time, I honor them. And God is speaking to the weakest link in a generation. That is the time I want the army to rise. That is showing us that by strength, the arm of flesh, no man will prevail. So God is looking for those whom he will raise. That's why he said, that which you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit to what? Faithful men. Even to be faithful, they have to help us to be faithful. Commit to faithful men. Not strong men. You can be strong, but you might not be faithful. Not skillful men. You might be skillful. You might not be faithful. Not gifted men. You can be gifted, but you might not be faithful. Faithfulness is actually God that says it's so. And you know, faithfulness is not that I am there in every meeting. God can see someone who everybody in church might look at him and say, this one. And God, he said, I'm seeing something you're not seeing. So faithfulness is actually God that actually defines what he calls faithfulness. That's actually a heart. It's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. Heart, no man will see, but God will see it. God will commit himself to such a man. And looking at him, judging by the outward commitment that men will offer, he might not even measure up to what the pastor wants. But God sees him. I said, this guy is faithful. This guy is faithful. May God open our eyes to see how he judges faithfulness. To faithful men, who shall be able. Now, they shall be able. Not that they are able at that time. They shall be able. Why will they be able? Because they themselves has also been taught. I don't know if you're following me. Meaning, ability has been given to them as a result of transfer. Who shall be able to teach others also? Teaching others also, not necessarily they are going to be handling mic. They will embody a conversation. I want to tell you, church, conversation is stronger than preaching. Whether you like it or not, conversation is stronger than preaching. I used to tell a story of a pastor that I happened to stay under for a little while I was in Assemblies of God. That was actually the first person I can say this was a pastor that I encountered. He was not a powerful preacher. He was not a wonderful preacher. No revelation at all. But this man had a conversation that was so contagious. He had a manner of life. I know it's God. God has dealt with him. So I can see how that thing came about. He had so much strength of conversation that as a pastor of that church, you know, there they always transfer pastors. As a pastor of that church, there was just something that is as if, you know, the church, then the church was about 300. It was as if they were together a family. He had such a strong conversation. Now, somebody will see it and say it was a pastoral grace. Yes, but you see, that thing was more of a conversation than just anointing. Then there was no GSM. If anybody falls sick in the church, you wouldn't know how he knows. He will just come to the person's house. And immediately he arrives, brethren will begin to come. They didn't call each other. There was no GSM, so nobody called anybody. But once he arrives there, people will begin to come. Brethren from the church will begin to come. And that person is going to be taken care of. I saw people who you never believed will give their life to Christ. There was one lady in our area there in Akoka, where I stayed before. That's where the church was. She was a politician, a women leader around that area. It was a woman man. Nobody ever believed that this lady could give her life to Christ. But this lady was won over to the Lord by this man of God. The first day she came to church, you know, it's just like, you know, a harlot coming to church. Everybody was. But I just saw a man who had a conversation. How he managed this woman, and the woman broke free from a lot of things and consecrated her life to the Lord. Eventually, when they transferred this pastor, this woman wept and cried and cried. Of course, the whole church cried. Because there was something about, I said, the man wasn't so anointed. To be candid with you, I'm not trying to say anything, you know. I was in the church. I was a youngster. I was just a teenager, about 19, 20. When there is Pentecostal Sunday, you know, they want to pray for people for Holy Ghost baptism. Some of us, we are prayer warriors and, you know, gifted and anointed. He calls us to come and lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to receive the Holy Ghost. That's what he does. He will, you know, call us youngsters and we will do that. He had such a conversation that was contagious. So his lifestyle, I can't forget him. I mean, I forget those other pastors that I've met along the line, but I can't forget this man. Up till now, I still send him money because he's retired, he's old. I still send him money up till now. Because there was something he had, a conversation. And all of us who happen to be under him in that season, something happened to us. All of us. There's none of us that is missing. Most of us, especially those of us that he constantly will call to come and pray for people, all of us are in ministry today. He didn't tell us to go into ministry. But there was just something on him. He had a conversation. That's the first person I began to see that, I call it pastoral grace. But I know it was more than pastoral grace. It was a conversation. A man who is patient. Patient that will cook the stone. You give up on somebody, he will not give up on that person. Conversation. Man who will be able to teach others. Who shall be able to teach others by their own manner of life? We will multiply ourselves by conversation. Amen. I want you to understand that. It's by conversation we will multiply ourselves. A strong local assembly is an assembly that has embodied the conversation of Christ and of the Son of God. Then, the next verse. Thou therefore endure hardness, because you see, bearing the conversation of Christ is like you're flowing against the tide. It is hard. Don't think the conversation of Christ is like licking tum-tum, something you're going to be enjoying. The conversation is the fact that you'll be dying. Always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord. That his what? Life might be made manifest. You have to be dying all the time. So you have to endure. So the hardness is actually, you have to endure hardness. Because you have to be hard against that which is called yourself. That thing you call yourself is a conversation also. It's a conversation that was handed over to you by your forefathers. You don't know how you were molded, how you came about your frame inwardly is actually as a result of a lot of things. Part of it, there was a time you taught it. Part of it is what you got from your father. Some of it is what you got from the society. Some of it is what you got from school also. Some of it is what you got from your home. Now all of them come together to form a kind of personality. And you don't, and that personality can be accepted in the society. But you don't know how wicked that personality is until Christ's standard comes. Until they bring Christ. Then you now see how evil that personality is. You don't see yourself rejecting some things that are of Christ. So endure hardness. Another word for hardness. Endure affliction. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How many of us are soldiers of Jesus Christ? Don't be afraid. Raise your hand. I didn't say how many of you are good soldiers. I just said how many of you are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now, how they measure the goodness is how much you are able to endure. You know, there are some things that will come against you. How they know a man is good is a man that can agree with God. Even when that which God is bringing is not palatable to you. You can agree. When they said Joseph was a good man, you don't understand what it means that the person you're betrothed to is pregnant for you. Abby? For you. If it's for you, it's good. But he's pregnant, and then she said it's the Holy Ghost. Where has he been heard of before? It's never spoken of in Israel. Apart from that, the prophet prophesied, behold, a virgin shall conceive. But why must you be the one? Why is it you that is betrothed to me that will now be the one who will be the virgin that will conceive? You just need to hear some things that will be going on in the community. Joseph, are you okay? You want to take her? You don't know the law of Moses. You don't know what the law... No, you cannot allow such evil. You have to report her to the Sanhedrin. Let the law have its. But the Lord met Joseph and told Joseph, I'm the one. Now, can I say something? He didn't come in. It wasn't an angel that appeared in. No. You know, if you have an open vision, there's a way it leaves an impression in you. An open vision. Maybe you see Michael or Gabriel. You are not sleeping. But this one was a dream. You can easily ignore a dream. Many times the Lord has spoken to us in dream. We wake up, we just, after a while, the thing dissipates. But the man took it to heart to do the unthinkable, to go against what is obtainable, because he was a good man. Good soldier. You must endure contradictions against yourself. That is what makes a man good. Not a man who is just, you know, enjoying everything and just, no, that, you know, the Christianity we've had, I always say this, I said the Christianity we have seen before, God is changing the narrative. The Christianity that we've had before is a Christianity that is need-oriented. You know what I mean by need-oriented? Christianity that, the reason why I came is what God is going to do for me. Not what God wants to do to me. And I can tell you, God, when he said, you know the thought I have for you. This is why he's telling you the thought I have for you are thoughts of good. Because when he starts, you will say it's not God. This is not God. God, the God that I know cannot do this to me. I know the God that I serve. No, you don't know him. You don't know anything about him. How many shipwrecks did Paul have? So when he was talking conversation. Shipwreck, 3. Beaten with stripes, many times. Perils, often. Hunger, mighty Paul. Sometimes he didn't have something to eat. And he still had to preach. Some of us would have resigned. Sometimes in cold, you don't have clothes to wear. But you are supposed to keep preaching. We've been used to need-oriented Christianity. But God is changing the narrative. Not just what God would do for me, but what God can do to me. He wants to do something in us. He's the one that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's finish it up quickly. Forget about this journey of Paul. If we go there, we will not come out today. Amen. No man that worreth does what? Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. So one of the things God is going to be doing to these soldiers is going to cut them from the affairs of this life. It's a circumcision that must take place. It's a circumcision that must take place. It's a circumcision of the heart. And he knows how he does it. I can tell you, he's with me, he's doing that. And I'm sure with many of us, God is dealing with us that way. Because you've been enlisted into the army. One day, one of my pastors asked me, he said, "Pastor, why is it that whatever God gives us, he gives it to us in such a way that maybe he wants to give you a car, he'll give you a car that people have finished using. And then he brings it. So there's no shining. You know, there's a way, if you got it, tear rubber. Now, I'm not saying God is against tear rubber. No, I'm not saying that at all. He can give that. But I'm saying dealings, he can bring it. Maybe a car, he will not give you, even if he's giving you tear rubber, maybe he will not give you 2023. Might give you 2017, 2019. It has rained. Or he will stretch the process of getting it so that by the time, like Abraham, by the time you receive the child of promise, after 25 years of waiting, you don't have strength again to shine with it. What they are doing is that they are circumcising. I want you to understand, every good and perfect gift of God, which, you know, we call it light, is light. But one thing it does is that it circumcises our hearts. God wants our hearts to be consistently. Let me say this. The circumcision of heart is not once. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process because they will have to. You have many foreskins, veils that you're not aware of, that a whole lot of things has contributed to you having so much, multiple veils. They will have to be cutting it away, slicing it away little by little, because you must not be found entangled with the affairs of this life. That will disqualify you from the army of the living God. They love not their lives unto the dead. That's what the book of Revelation said. They didn't love their lives unto the dead, meaning they kept on exercising themselves after the manner of circumcision. God was cutting off. Because no soldier that worried entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him. So we didn't choose ourselves. I want you to understand, we didn't choose ourselves. Someone chose us. Someone chose us. Someone enlisted us. Someone is enlisting us. Someone, his name is Jesus, the Son of God. He's the one enlisting us, and we have to please him. I don't know whether it rings in your heart, but one thing I do as a minister all the time, I'm asking the Lord, show me what will please you. I just want to please you. I want to please you. Will this please you? If it doesn't please you, then there's no need doing it. I just want to please. What gain? Will it be for me that I did so much in the sight of men, and yet the Lord said, I am not pleased with this. I want to please him. As a good soldier, someone enlisted me and is required of me to please him. So I want to encourage us in this conference. One of the things the Lord is going to be doing is that the Lord is going to be circumcising us. I'm just exalting us. I'm basically not teaching. I'm just exalting us. We should yield to the Lord to circumcise us. Every circumcision is for to make us not to be entangled with the affairs of this life so that we can please Him. You know, because that's the... He said, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. How many of us want to hear that from the Lord? Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. That's the most precious word that anybody that has sojourned here on earth, any believer that has sojourned, gone through this path, should desire to hear. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Are you blessed tonight? I don't want to take us further than this. Can we begin to trust God together? Let's pray.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.